Everybody. Special welcome to our visitor, Mr. Bob Fay. We appreciate you heading down to give us a message this afternoon. For the record, I did try to get him to go bad cop with me and really give it to you guys, but he thought that wouldn't be appropriate for a... From time to time when reading the Bible, I come across a word, and I realize that I've been glossing over it for years, assuming that I know what the word means by the general context, but not actually giving it much thought. This happened in a sermon the other week as we were reading Acts 9, so let's head over there. Acts 9. The word is found in verse 5. Acts 9, verse 5. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. I had this Seinfeld-like moment where I was thinking to myself, it sure is hard to kick against a goad. No one wants to kick against a goad. I'm just sitting over here. Wonder what a goad is. So today, I thought it would be fun to do a quick study on the word goad. We'll look at its usage in the Bible, as well as studying the context of its placement in Acts 9. My hope is that by the end of the message, we'll all know what it is that we aren't wanting to kick against. Said earlier in 9, let's go to the top of the chapter, verses 1 and 2. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So this chapter begins at the height of Saul's persecution of the followers of Jesus. Now in review, Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee, and a Pharisee was a member of a Jewish sect who had been trained in and believed in strict adherence to Jewish law and oral traditions. In fact, this is backed up later in the book of Acts in 22 verse 3. He says, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, being Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. So for context, Gamaliel was a first century Jewish rabbi, a renowned and highly respected Pharisee, and a member of the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Jewish Council and the highest court. To be trained by Gamaliel would be like learning physics from Isaac Newton. This is significant because Saul's training under Gamaliel would have given him great authority in his community. By that authority, Saul was responsible for the arrest of early Christians, even consenting to the stoning of Stephen, one of the early deacons of the New Testament church. His knowledge of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, would have been second to none. Saul was a Pharisee's Pharisee. So we see then in verse 3 and 4, Acts 9, 3 and 4, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So Saul is confronted by a light and a voice. And verse 5 says that this is Jesus. Jesus is directly confronting Saul over his persecution of Jesus' followers. And here's where we find in verse 5 then, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Goad here is a Greek word, kentron. The Strong's word is G2759. It means to prick. In fact, the word goad in the King James there says kick against the pricks. To prick, it is a point, a sting. Figuratively, it's a divine impulse. The word is used five times in the New Testament. I will read all of them quickly because it gives a good context. Two of them are copies here. Acts 9:5 and Acts 26:14 say the same thing. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. 1 Corinthians 15, it's in 55 and 56. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And finally, in Revelation 9:10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. So we get a bit of a metaphor for what it is when you're kicking against that. A goad, or an ox goad, was a long wooden pole, approximately 8 feet long, and it would have had an iron spear or point at the end of it. It was used to spur oxen forward when pulling a plow or a cart. Now, a goad is referenced a few times as different words in the Old Testament. Judges 3:31, interestingly enough, Shamgar the son of Anath killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. That's pretty incredible, and not an image that I really want. And then in Ecclesiastes 12:11, it says, the words of the wise are like goads. The implication there is that the words of the wise help to prod us forward. So let's tie all of this back to Saul. How was Saul kicking against the goads? Fighting against the prodding or urging of Jesus. Well, Saul had built his entire existence around the adherence to Jewish law and customs. He was principled enough in his beliefs to put to death those who lived contrary to his faith. He believed that acceptance of Jesus as the Messiah was blasphemy of the highest level. But Jesus is the one who confronted Saul on the road to Damascus. And after his conversion, Galatians 1 implies that Paul received his training directly from Jesus over the course of 3 years. Talk about training of the highest level. There really isn't even a comp for getting trained by Jesus. I suppose it's like saying you got your physics training from Isaac Newton and then learned modern physics from Albert Einstein. Like he had both sides of this training from a very, very high, well-respected rabbi and then from the Messiah himself. Now there's another implication here. Jesus' words in chapter 9 point to the idea, my notes wouldn't quit moving on me, point to the idea that Jesus had been missing his call, or Saul had been missing his calling from Jesus for some time. And we'll soon see that there was a consequence for doing so. Saul was so focused on being right that he failed to see where he might be wrong. It is ironic that by Jesus blinding Saul, Saul was humbled to the point of finally being able to see the truth that was before him. So the question is, how do we kick against the goads? Are there any ways that we kick against the goads in our regular life? Now, I want to ask this question carefully because I don't want it to be mistaken. But do we ever get caught up in Pharisaical thinking? Let that sit in for a moment. Do we ever get caught up in Pharisaical thinking? Again, Saul was so caught up in obedience to what he believed was right that he failed to see that he might be obeying the wrong teachings. And he certainly did his best to make sure that other people obeyed the wrong teachings too. He was very obedient. Now let me be clear. I'm neither stating nor implying that our church teachings are doctrinally incorrect. However, sometimes, perhaps, on an individual level, we promote traditions to doctrine, elevating preference to be on par with God's law. And in doing so, we run the risk of forsaking the ministry of Jesus by losing the heart of the matter that he taught so often to his disciples. Secondarily, do we ever ignore the signs that Jesus might be leading us in a particular direction, blinded by our own perceptions, as Saul was? Do we ignore person? Well, by their fruit. God has laid out what his expectations are for his people, and Jesus taught obedience from the heart. So if you're looking for a place to start, begin with the Bible. Surround yourself with people who also follow the Bible, the ministry who devote their lives to exhortation, and peers who are bearing the fruit of obedience to God and Christ. And trust your gut. If something doesn't seem right, don't just blindly accept it. As Mr. Armstrong used to urge, don't trust me, read it for yourself. It isn't fun to kick against a goad. It's hard, as if it were easy, goads wouldn't exist. But if we aren't careful, with repeated kicking, we can do one of two things. We can build up a tolerance to the pain, or we can create a gaping spiritual wound that takes years to heal from. Go back to Acts 9. And we see this in 13 to 16. Acts 9, 13 to 16. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, being Saul, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." There were consequences for Paul and or Saul kicking against the goad for as long as he did. In some ways, you could say that Jesus was merciful to Saul to finally confront him face to face, so to speak, and to bind him into obedience. And thankfully, God gives us the story of Paul's conversion as a lesson for us today. So let's be mindful of the goads in our lives, the ways that Jesus might be trying to redirect our focus and mindset. And let's recommit to living according to God's priorities, obedience to and love for Him and love for one another.